the communion of the Spirit, the mystery of communion, the mystery of a life hidden with God through the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to read to you an account from Mark chapter 14 of the Lord's Supper, which you can say is the first communion. But I want to say to you that the communion we're having today with the Lord and with one another is the same but a very different communion to what the disciples had with Jesus around the table. Let me explain. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." That is a key phrase. They were not having communion then, new in the kingdom of God. Today we are. That's the difference. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, 'I'll strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not stumble." That's faith. That's faith in Peter. Peter's faith in Peter. Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he, that's Peter, spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. At the communion table, the Lord's Supper, with the Lord Jesus, who was God. Then in verse 15, after they'd sung the hymn and gone out into the garden, all his disciples deserted him and fled. One tore off really fast, but his clothes tore off even faster. The soldiers tried to grab him and he was in such a hurry to get away that they tore his clothes off, and the Bible says he ran naked out of the place. Communion is to be a transformational experience of communion with God, the living God. They had communion with Jesus, but it was not in the kingdom. And it didn't transform them. They were still the same people. But what a privilege. I mean, I would have loved to have been there at the Last Supper. And I would have been in the presence of God, but the presence of God, the kingdom, would not have been in me. You have to understand how Christianity really works and transforms us, and what the mystery of communion is. It's not just a symbol, it is a communion. So the disciples could not share a communion of the Spirit with Jesus, but we can't. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, it speaks about the Trinity, the Blessed Trinity. It speaks about the three and their particularities and their mission, if you like, each of them. One being. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All one being in the Godhead, as one, but with different different persons with particularities of mission in our lives. In Colossians, said of Jesus, and this is to prove the point, that Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead, what? Bodily. He's the only one that is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's his particularity. A father is the fullness of the Godhead fatherly. And Jesus shows us the Father. We wouldn't know the Father except through Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is the fullness of the Godhead communionly. He is the communion of the Godhead with us, in us, with Jesus to the Father. That's his particularity. The Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost upon all flesh. Then the kingdom could be engaged. All have the Holy Spirit. Every single person on the planet has the Holy Spirit because he's poured out on all flesh. And yet not all have the Holy Spirit. What's this riddle that we have here? This is the riddle. This is the mystery. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. Mystery is simply something hidden. In the book of Romans it says, they that don't have the Holy Spirit are not of him. Oh, well, some have it and some don't. No, you can have something but not have it. The word used in Romans about those that have the Holy Spirit have him. The word have there is echo, which means taking a hold of. The Holy Spirit's been poured out. The Holy Spirit's there. He's in the world, convicting the world of sin, of unbelief, of righteousness. He's there in every person. But having the Holy Spirit there and having the Holy Spirit are two different things. When Paul got to Ephesus, there were believers there. I mean, believers, you can't believe without the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit had been there. And they were believing in Jesus. And he said to them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, we haven't even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. You see, the Bible says in Ephesians that the unbelievers are alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them. People have to hear the gospel, the good news. And this is part of the gospel, that we are to receive, not just know that he even exists, but to reach out and receive and take a hold of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the fullness of the Godhead, not bodily, but in our communion with Jesus and the Father. That's how important the ministry of the Holy Spirit is. And if it's not taught, it ain't received. If it ain't received, excuse my English, it is not lived. Simple, and yet difficult. So simple that it must be so simple that the simplest uneducated person just has to know it. And what do they then have to do? Believe it. Then what do they have to do? Ask. If you as fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to all that ask? Who asks? You have not because you ask not. And the simplicity of it is, what do you have to do to get it? Well, you've got it. You have to allow Him, the Holy Spirit. You sit and you wait. Do you know that Pentecost came after 10 days of waiting? You wait for the Holy Spirit. In the early days of Pentecost, they used to have tarrying meetings, and that people would sit and wait for the Holy Ghost, and they would get filled because they believed that if they waited, they'd receive, and they did. People can be in too much of a hurry these days. It's received by faith. That is not just our connection, that is God. That's the fullness of the Godhead in communion. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 that you might be filled with all the fullness of God and the power that works within you. That's the Holy Spirit. All right, I'll leave that one. So here we have the communion of the Holy Spirit off that scripture of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:1, live a life fitting for the invitation you receive from God, humbly, gently, patiently, forbearing one another in love. Be diligent to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. That's to the church. It doesn't say be diligent to try and organise the unity of the Spirit and do your best to have unity in the church. No, no. You've already got the unity of the Spirit. Be diligent to maintain it in the bond of peace. See, we have everything in God. We have so much. The gospel, we think we've got to try and do something to get this. It's there. It is all there. By faith we receive. And we discover. And then that act of faith, it says, this faith, by faith, we have access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the glory of God that's going to be revealed, God on display. Access because the grace of God can then flow and reveal God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So now we're having communion today. Communion in the kingdom. All right? So, well, Jesus isn't here. He certainly is here, and so is the Father. But the Holy Spirit is our communion with God today. And it's as simple as asking and receiving and believing and being transformed. 1 Corinthians 10:16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Go down to the next heading, the bread. Verse 16, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Communion is we are actually engaging with Jesus, his blood, which is the blessing, and his body. That's what we'll be doing today. What does that mean? I know there's lots of different sacramental applications and rites of communion, but it's quite simple. We have communion because of the spirit of communion within us. The cup of blessing. It's the cup of blessing. Receive all spiritual blessings today through the blood of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11:25, still on the communion when Paul speaks about it. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. The old days, they would cut a covenant. They'd cut their wrist. This were all kinds of people and cultures that would do this. It wasn't done in the church, of course, but it was just cutting the blood covenant. My blood, your blood, our lives are now belong to one another. That was just an ancient kind of ritual that people used to do. But with Jesus, when we cut the covenant with him, it's his blood, his life, our life together. The life is in the blood. God has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant so we can be a blessing. We're invited to bring the blessing of God into the earth because of the life that we have communion with today. You're the anointing of God on the earth to bring the blessing. He blesses spiritually. That's what God desires for the children, his children. So that people will respond to his goodness, come to know him. Now, how do you bring blessing of the life of Jesus, having had communion with his life? How do you bring blessing to people? Well, you can say, bless your brother, bless your sister. I think you can do more than just say bless you. In fact, I don't think you have to do anything. You can be expressionless. You can just be sitting with somebody with not an expression on your face, not a smile, not a nothing. And you can be releasing the blessing of God into their lives by faith. You are a servant of the new covenant in which all the spiritual blessings of God are. And by faith I can sit in front of you, Paul, and I can know in my heart that you are being blessed by the loving Father, and the Savior, Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is embracing you, and you're embracing him back, and I feel you're being blessed now. Now, I'm grinning my head off and talking, but I can sit here emotionless and release that by faith, because I have communion with the Holy Spirit. I have communion with the blood, the life. His blood was shed to give me his life, every spiritual blessing. I can release that. That's transformational. That's why we have communion as the body of Christ, to maintain the unity that's already there in the bonds of peace, just by being there, believing there, and faithing there, and blessing there because of the blood. So let your heart bless. This is the being part. Now the bread, the doing part, the little things where they're needed. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread, one body. We all partake of that one bread. Jesus, talking about the body, said, a body, Lord, you've prepared for me. Behold, I've come to do your will, O God. The blood, the spirit, the life is for being. It's just for blessing. And you can do things when you're blessing, but the doing is here in letting your body be the vessel of God that does things. That's the communion of the body. Jesus had a body. Can you come and give me a body, Lord? Sacrifices and offerings you don't want, but a body you prepared for me. Now, what did he want a body for? What did God want a body for on the earth? Could Jesus have said so that I can do your will, so that I can do things that please you? You need hands and feet and a head. You need a body. And here's the body together in communion. This is the communion of the body. Behold, I've come to do your will. Romans 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship or your logical way of praising him. Look, you do this stuff, little things, or big, where needed. There are living works and dead works. There's stuff that you can do and it's not needed, but there are things that you can do which you know God would have you do. And you apply yourself to that, saying yes to what God wants. And sometimes saying no. Not to what God wants, but just to things that you think you have to do. Last year I collapsed in the shower. Well, I didn't actually collapse. I was taken to hospital. I got atrial fibrillation in the shop. Everything went sky high. I was taken up to the surgery upstairs, put me in an ambulance, ended up with a pacemaker. And I was just overworking, doing too much stuff. I went to see my GP afterwards. I'll tell you her name, because I'm going to tell you a little story about her. Sue Daly, Newport Medical Center. And she said, "Wow, well, you've been through it, Paul." I said, "Yes." Now, Sue knows that I'm, or she thinks that I'm a retiree pharmacist. She doesn't know that I'm a pastor. I haven't told her. And I'm sitting there with Sue, and she said, "Paul," she said, "you've got to learn when to say no, because I was volunteering to do this shift for that person, that one for this person." She said, "You have to stop. You can't just say yes to everybody." I said, "Yeah, that's good, Sue, that's good." She said, and then the next thing she said was, well, she gave me a little story first. She said, when I was being mentored by my professor doing medicine, she said, I wanted to do every single thing he wanted to do, everything for everybody. And she said, he told me, "Sue, Jesus died once for you to carry your burdens. Don't you feel you've got to do it again to carry everybody else's burdens?" And I just sat there and I thought, "Hello, doctor." My goodness. I didn't say, "Well, look, I'll just have you know that I'm a..." I just said, "Yeah, thank you, Lord." And I started saying no. I did what the doctor said. I started to recover. Now listen, the doing is the doing, but sometimes the doing has to be the not doing as well. There is a rest. We are not rushing around trying to please every single person that wants this or wants that, but we are here to be the body for the Lord when there is a need and the love of God compels us and we've had communion with his body. We've said, "Yes, this is your body," and that's all you've got to do. You don't have to work up some kind of routine to be able to say, "Well, I'm going to make my body more of yours." You just have to say it and just say, "By faith, you're using me today." That's it. Without complicating it. You'll know whether he is or not. And you'll know whether you're overdoing it or not. And the Holy Spirit will let you know if you're underdoing it. Communion. Where God is present through us in faith and love, there situations are reordered by God. Our existence, or let me re-emphasize that, our existence becomes secondary. There's another existence. Our existence is our grateful assistance to the good will of God, to feed the bread of his will into people's lives. That's the communion with his body. His body that he sacrificed for us. We don't have to worry about ourselves. He's looking after us. Why do you take thought for this and thought for that and thought for that? all right, I haven't explained fully the mystery of communion, but I want you to know there's a lot more to it than just a symbol. There's a lot more to it than a rite and a way, a methodology of doing it. There is a communion of the Spirit whereby you become transformed. So we're going to have communion now. Communion in the Spirit with the Lord. I'll just ask if we can prepare our hearts for that. And be ready. Amen.